Hey everyone, thank you for tuning in to New Life's podcast. We hope that you are encouraged by this message. Feel free to share with others and message us on Facebook to let us know how God has moved in your life through New Life Podcast. We hope to hear from you soon. Now get ready to take notes from this Bible-centered message.
Well, welcome to the neighborhood, everybody. We are finishing a series that we began a few weeks ago. How many of you have had a long week and it feels like years? How many of you are in your 20s and you feel like you're 80? Well, may God renew our strength today. Amen. And so Jesus prophesied about the church in the 16th chapter of Matthew, and you are a fulfillment of that. He said to Peter and his disciples, "Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. They shall not be able to hold out." So we pray for you often, and we declare today that the greatness and the power and the strength of God and his word will come to your aid, and that you will be a weapon in the hand of God. This morning we want to go to the 10th chapter of the book of Luke. Jesus is approached and he is asked an incredible question. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 25, in the New Testament. One day an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Verse 26. Jesus replied, "What does the law of Moses say? How do you read?" The man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "Right," Jesus told him, "do this and you will live." The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. He was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes. They beat him up. They left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged him. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to the Holiday Inn where he took care of him. Y'all need to read your Bible. It's phenomenal. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If the bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here." "Now, which of these would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits?" Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes, now go and do the same." It's interesting because in the 10th chapter of Luke, Jesus begins to make some phenomenal statements about the kingdom of God and the power in the kingdom. And this lawyer comes up, tempting him. Jesus has to reveal this story because the lawyer does not want to bring himself to a point of self-examination. And Jesus says, "What does the law say?" And the lawyer answers correctly. He said, "You must love the Lord your God with all your mind, all your strength, all your heart, and your neighbor as yourself." The lawyer looks at Jesus and says, "All of these things I've done." The challenge is this. I don't know anybody in our culture that does anything with all of their heart. I know very few. And Jesus is very clear when he explains to him, if you can do these things, you will live. You will have the God kind of life. You will be successful. You will prosper in everything that you do. Things will begin to work out for you, even when it looks like everything is going wrong. But what would happen if the church would love God with everything within them. The temptation is in our culture that we reserve a little bit of our energy for ourselves. After all, it's my life. Jesus is making an enormous statement here, a statement that I want to echo, because I want to live my life full and die empty. I want to, at the end of my life, have given everything out that I have access to. My love cannot be reserved just for those people that I like or agree with me politically or live next door to me. Because Jesus tells him, if you can love God with everything within you and your neighbor as yourself, if you can do these things, thou shalt live. You're going to have the God kind of life. It is amazing to me because when you begin to define the term neighbor, it really has two definitions. Number one, neighbor means those that are geographically or territorially close to you. Number two, it can also mean those that believe the same thing as you do. So the lawyer asks Jesus, because he's ready to love people and to love God with everything that's within him, but he needs clarification about who is my neighbor. So the lawyer is simply saying, do I need to love those people that live close to me, that I know, and those people that believe the same thing that I believe? You see, if you're going to be effective in your walk with God, you cannot limit your love just to those people that believe the same thing that you believe and listen to your jokes and laugh, or those that live in close proximity to you. And so the story that Jesus teaches is in response to the lawyer's question. You see, I don't believe that everybody in this world is prejudiced. But I do believe that because of our history, because of our environment, the way that we are raised, that we all have bias. Women have bias. Men have bias. Women can walk in on the middle of a movie and go, why did he do that? And make a judgment about that whole scenario without having watched the whole thing. Men are just as biased, because if there's a brother that's getting smacked down, they'll come to his aid if he's right or if he's wrong. I don't know if I'm preaching in the right place today. But Jesus was trying to bring an explanation, trying to help them understand that they had to get out of their comfort zone. That the love that he was about to show them on Calvary's cross was not a respecter of social class, of ethnicity, or color. We are color prejudiced in this nation. And so that's why we congregate with people that are like us. If you've ever been lost in a big city and you don't know anyone, we have a tendency to look for somebody that's like us. Not because it's prejudicial, but because we're comfortable. And being comfortable is the word in our culture because we don't want to be made to feel uncomfortable. But if we're going to grow and if we're going to thrive as a believer and as an individual, we have to move beyond what we're comfortable with. That our comfort level needs to shift and needs to change. And we need to, if the church is going to grow, if the church is going to accomplish the mission of Jesus Christ when he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. But my friend, it takes commitment to move outside of what you are comfortable with. And that commitment and that love can only be expressed because you have been a recipient of the love of Jesus Christ. We all have certain biases and we lean towards certain things and certain people and certain arenas that we're comfortable with. And we get very uncomfortable when we are challenged to move outside of what we're comfortable with. In fact, to such a degree that we will begin to reply to those that challenge us, "You're just being condemning. You don't understand. I'm not that way." Maybe that's the way you used to be before Jesus touched your life. But when he touched your life with the love of God, he was moving in your life no matter what you had done, knowing in advance what you would do, knowing how bad you had been, and that the element of goodness in your life was only for a moment. In spite of everything that we were not, he loved us anyway. Can I tell you that there are people in our world that we cross every day that are abandoned, rejected, they're staring at life, they are stunned by experiences in life, and they need the massaging love of concern that only the church can give, that only a born again believer has the capacity to bring. It is amazing that when we are challenged to go outside of what we are comfortable with, based on any bias in our life, that we move into a place that is prejudicial, and we begin to use scriptures to validate our bias. Hello? Well, we take this phrase and we believe it's scriptural, and it's not. They made their own bed, let them lie in it. Do you know where I would be today if somebody hadn't reached out to me? I shudder to think the state of my life if somebody had not said something to me. Many times we have the capacity, if you're going to move outside of your comfort zone, if you're going to move past your biases and self-erected fences to make yourself feel comfortable, you have to become bilingual. Because I can move into a crowd of younger people that are dressed different, that talk different, and I can walk in the midst of that, though shocking it may be to them, and say, "Hey man, hey, what's up?" I can also move into an arena where there are executives of businesses and put my hand out and shake their hand and go, "Hello, are you having a good day? Great to be here, honored to be with you." We have to learn, because we limit the crowd that we run with as long as they speak our language, because we are tribal by nature. We hang with the people that talk like us, that look like us, that never challenge us, that we're comfortable with. Because if you look in the Word of God, ever since the Tower of Babel, when God scattered the people across the face of the earth, I'm not just talking about speaking French or Spanish or English. Did you know there are 2,000 different dialects and languages in Africa alone? We are tribal by nature. And the challenge is, if the church allows a natural tribalism to embrace them, then we limit ourselves to who we can reach. How do we expect to reach a lost world that we're not even willing to talk to? How can we be the light of the world when Jesus Christ has touched our life, changed us so radically, without a board meeting, without a committee meeting, without an evaluation, but based upon our faith in that moment to open up our hearts and ask him to forgive us of our sins? And he illuminates our life, he transforms us, he changes us, he revolutionizes our thinking. He blesses us. He gives us peace. He gives us joy that we could not find anywhere else, that we were so desperately pursuing. Now is not the time to hide your light under a bushel. Now is the time, new life. And every believer that I can speak to, let the light of God shine in your life. Break out of that which you're not comfortable with and watch God do something great in your life. Most of Jesus' heartaches came from people that believed like him and were like him. In fact, those people are the ones that crucified him. Jesus will deal in this story with three categories of people. He'll deal with the taker, the giver, and the passer. And in this story, I want to ask you a question. Who are you? Where are you?
Oh my gosh, what a day. You know, some people are stupid. You tell them to do one thing, they do the other. You tell them to do this, they do that. When is it going to ever change? I mean, the mechanic that took my truck in last week obviously didn't do something because it's sitting at work. Now I'm freaking walking home. What a day. Sometimes, you know, I don't know what to do. I don't know. Yeah, babe, what's up? You're kidding, right? You let the six-year-old on the mower? And he broke a window. Okay, so, stop yelling. It's not your fault. Well, it kind of is your fault, but it's okay. It's just the day I'm having. So we'll talk about it when I get home. Don't worry. Oh my gosh, you know? Why can't everything just go right? Just once. Please go right. I'm tired of things the way they are. Some days I just want to give up. I don't know where I'm going, don't know what I'm doing. People are mad at me. Some days I'd just rather die.
God has placed you and I in the midst of a world that is broken. They are hurting. They're dysfunctional. They don't look like what we think they ought to look like. They don't talk the way that we think they should talk. We may isolate ourselves from them. We may resist them, but we can never forget we were them. The Bible says, forget not the pit from which you were dug. James chapter 2 and verse 17, James writes this scripture. Because he deals with the essence of faith, faith in God, faith to believe for miracles, faith to believe for things that you need, faith to believe for direction in your life. But then he makes this statement. So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. So he is challenging us. What is our faith producing? Jesus tells the story. He says there was a man from Jerusalem to Jericho. On the way, he was beaten by bandits and robbed and left for dead. I don't know about you, but that's where I was. Surely, the next character on the scene that walks down the road will reach out and have compassion. Jesus says, a priest comes.
Man, can you believe this, sweetie? They're having a phenomenal meeting tonight. I heard one of the deacons telling somebody else that I'm going to get a raise. I'm going to get a raise.
You
deserve it. I'm so excited.
Hey. You deserve it.
Oh, God. I'm so excited.
Oh, can you help me?
Oh.
Hey.
Oh.
Can you help me?
Oh, gosh. We don't have time.
Please, come on.
Don't look.
We don't come on, please.
Oh, just keep
we don't have time.
You
just call somebody.
Something about that.
Please.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, come on.
Something about that. And we sit in our churches and we wait for the government to do something. And they don't have the capacity. And they don't have the money. But we in the kingdom have the ability. The priest passed by. Maybe it was his day to serve in the temple. Maybe it was his day to read the scripture. And the Levitical law was very clear. If you touch an unclean or a dead man, you are unclean for 7 days. And he would miss his opportunity to minister in the temple. Have you ever had somebody tell you, if you're ever hurting in life, if you ever go through a struggle, all you have to do is call me, and you wonder why they can't see that you're bleeding now? But that's not the end of the story. A priest passes by. This man is still in need. Jesus declares this. Then a Levite made his way down the road.
Honey, don't look.
What?
It's disgusting.
What is it?
It looks like some man's been shot or beat up or something.
Oh, gross. I don't even know what's happening in this town. Is there blood?
Hey.
Yeah, there's blood everywhere.
Oh, gross.
Can you help me? Please.
You don't think we got any honest, do you?
Come on.
I hope not. I wouldn't want that man's blood on me.
Come on. That would be help. Awful.
Come on. No, come back. Please.
Let's hurry.
Yeah, let's get out of here.
One translation says that a deacon passed by. Can I read to you from the book of Matthew chapter 25 what Jesus declared to his disciples? I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. He will go on to respond to their question and say, Lord, when did we see you naked or in prison? He will tell them, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. Can I tell you again that we define our neighbor as those that are in close proximity to us, or those that believe the same way that we do. Can I tell you, there is such divisiveness in this nation today that we are polarized politically, we are polarized socially, we are polarized in the church. And we're not sure that we want people like this in our church. And yet Jesus was criticized for eating with tax collectors, dealing with a prostitute and forgiving her sins, finding himself with lepers and cleansing them and making them whole. There will be times where the church will be criticized because people that are religious do not understand. Why are you taking the time to help them? Why would you even reach out to them? Don't you know they're users and abusers? But my response is they have a soul and they're hurting, and maybe the love of God can massage their heart and help them. The Bible tells us in the 33rd verse of Luke chapter 10, then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him.
Will we ever rise? Will we ever rise above the fear? Can we learn to see the need? Can we share humanity? I can see another day come. Broken people, we can be made whole. We can be made whole. We can be made whole. As we lay down our weapons, open up our hearts. Love is breaking us, love remaking us. Will we ever
Good Samaritan. And yet if the truth was known, the Jews thought the Samaritans were no good. They were a half-breed. They were a mix. I tell you today that probably before your week is up, you will come across somebody who is hurting, somebody who is bleeding, somebody who is broken, somebody who is dysfunctional. And you'll either be moved by compassion or you'll be repulsed by it. But can I help you remember that Jesus dug all of us out of a horrible pit. David said he put us on a solid rock. He established our life, put a song in our mouth, even praise unto our God. Maybe today you are stumbling in life. Maybe you're staring at life. Maybe you are overcome by what life has thrown at you. But somewhere we must move beyond what we think our capacity is. You say, Pastor, I don't know enough. Just have compassion. Paul writes in Romans and says, love has no ill will towards its neighbor. Who is my neighbor? Are they just the ones that live in close proximity to me? Or have I relegated my neighbor to those that believe the way that I do? I want to challenge you today, because I believe that we're living in a critical moment in our culture, that we're living in a day of great opportunity for the church. We're living in a day when it is your opportunity and it is mine, and Jesus has set the platform and pulled the curtain back and said, now take my love and take my power and take my strength and take my good news into the whole world. Somewhere this week, I will cross somebody's life that needs what I have. Somewhere this week, you will cross somebody's life that needs what you have. I want to take a moment and invite our prayer partners today. If you're being baptized this morning, please meet our team out in the foyer. Would you stand with me today? I believe that if we are to be a church that is a life-altering, life-transforming church that embraces the power of God, that lifts up the name of Jesus, that believes that God can do anything, that believes He can lift into a pit and bring someone out and change their life in a radical way, then I believe we have to be intentional and say, I'm going to step outside of my comfort zone. I'm going to step outside of what I am familiar with, and I'm going to risk reaching to make a difference in somebody's life. In these next few moments, I want to challenge you. Maybe you feel like life has left you behind. Maybe you feel like you've been rejected or abandoned. Maybe you feel like you weren't good enough. Maybe you feel like if you just had been born in another time and another place, that things could have gone better for you. But my friend, you're living in one of the greatest days that we could live in. And the presence of Jesus is in this place today to help you, to empower you, to strengthen you, to transform you. And so I am believing today in these next few moments that we are going to open our heart and we are going to break the mold of what the world thinks church is. That it's not a place where people that are perfect go to gloat over their perfections, but it is a place where imperfect people go because they're aware of their own inadequacies and their own fractures in their life, and they're reaching, and they're a community of believers that didn't just come to hear the word, but they want to leave and be doers of the word and impact somebody's life and make a difference in somebody's life. If that's you, I challenge you to open your heart today. There are men and women here that'll pray for you. I want to say to you again, because it is a sovereign move of God, if you walked in this building and there is pain in your body or disorder or a doctor's diagnosis, we're standing in agreement with you that even maybe now that pain is leaving your body. You need to check and see. Maybe you need to lay your hand on that part of your body that's struggling and having pain, because we serve a Jesus today that not only saves, but heals, can free you from every bondage, every chain, every shackle, give you joy where there's pain, bring refreshing into your life. Could we love him this morning? Take a few moments today and love him. Let the Holy Spirit touch your heart. Open your heart. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you about somebody's life that you can change.
Thanks again for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed this message. Feel free to share this podcast with your friends and family. We stream live on Facebook every Sunday at 10 a.m. Message us on Facebook and let us know how God has touched your life at facebook.com/NewLifeSullivan.